Our second reading today comes from the book of Revelation, and it's the second to last chapter. And so it gives us this beautiful image of God's plan of salvation coming to fulfillment. And I think it's a powerful text for us to reflect upon because it can give us hope and strengthen us as we reflect upon the joys that await God's faithful people. You know, we're in a sense going through a world with many spiritual dangers, and it's easy for people to get sidetracked from the path of salvation. You know, sometimes people just drift away from the practice of the faith, or sometimes people buy into false teachings that pull us away from the faith. You know, how many people end up going to sports games on Sunday morning instead of going to church? Or how many people, end up in relationships that are unlawful because, they're told, well, as long as you love someone, it's okay. But what hope does is it helps to keep our focus on eternal salvation and what's truly important, and can help us from getting pulled away in directions that might very well cost us our salvation. And so I encourage us to reflect upon these details from the second reading in a way that enlivens that hope within us. And so a few details that we can see from the second reading. And the first is the focus on the New Jerusalem. You know, the original Jerusalem was the capital city of the Kingdom of David. And that was the center of the kingdom, and it was very much the heart of the kingdom where God's people would come together for the worship and adoration of him. And so Revelation 21 describes a new Jerusalem. And in the city of the new Jerusalem, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel are written on the gates, and there's 12 foundation stones with the names of the 12 apostles. And so what this is revealing is this is an image of God's people. All the faithful people from the Old Testament, from the 12 tribes of Israel, and then all the members of the church from the time of Christ until the end of time. You know, the church is built upon the apostles, and each one of us become living stones that, in a sense, make up the new Jerusalem. And so salvation is not an individual reality. You know, often you'll hear people say, well, all that matters is that you have personal faith in Jesus Christ. And it is important for us to have personal faith in Jesus Christ. But salvation is a communal reality. We are saved by being incorporated into the church. That's one of the effects of baptism, is we become members of the church. And salvation, as it's depicted in the book of Revelation, is when Jesus Christ calls his bride, the church, with all the members that are incorporated into it, to the wedding feast of heaven, to celebrate for all eternity. And so one of the things that we can learn from this is the importance of always staying united to the church. From the day in which we're baptized through the end of our life, we should always remain faithful to the church, because salvation comes through being incorporated into the mystical body of Christ, the church. The reading also says it describes the beauty of the New Jerusalem. And it uses imagery of different precious gemstones. You know, those are images of the virtues of the saints that flourish within the New Jerusalem. And it says that there will be no temple in the New Jerusalem. And that's pretty significant, because in the original Jerusalem, the temple was the center. You know, that's what made Jerusalem unique, is there was one place in the entire world that God manifest his presence in physical form, and that was in the temple in Jerusalem. And so in the New Jerusalem, there's not going to be a temple, because the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself, will be present in the New Jerusalem, and he will be radiant with light, and there will be no need for the sun, because God himself will radiate light. And so what does that mean? Well, this light that's radiating is a reflection of the goodness and the beauty of God. And so the privileges of the saints who are in heaven are they are able to see infinite goodness and infinite beauty. Everything in this world around us that's good and that's beautiful has been created by God. But he is the source of all of those things. And so to see God, the vision of God that the saints have in heaven, you know, they're able to see and to experience infinite goodness and infinite beauty. And they're also able to encounter infinite love. You know, in God is a person who loves us with his own heart, which has infinite depth. And so there's no limit to the self-sacrifice that our Lord is willing to offer for those that he loves. And so so the light that the saints are able to experience is this infinite love, infinite goodness, and infinite beauty. And that's ultimately what each one of us are created for. Every one of our souls is designed to find fulfillment, not in the things of this world, but in the infinite goodness and beauty of God. And so the saints experience that fulfillment beyond anything that we can imagine. In the gospel, Jesus says, "If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father." If we recognize the goodness of God and the beauty of what heaven is, then we would look forward in hope. Because we know that we are not created for this world, but ultimately we're created for union with God. And Jesus promises in the same chapter in John 14 that he will come back and take us to himself. And so I encourage each one of us, as we reflect upon these readings, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, to nurture within ourselves a hope that is transformative. A hope that's so strong that as we long for union with God, and as we long to be a part of the New Jerusalem, where all the faithful people from all time are united together in the worship and adoration of God, as we long for that, it will be so transformative that it changes our behavior, that we would never dare to violate any of the Lord's commandments because we want to be faithful to him. And a hope that instills in us a desire to be in the presence of the Eucharist, to desire to come to Mass and to come to Eucharistic adoration and experience the goodness and beauty of God in the Holy Eucharist in order to prepare our souls for the vision of him in eternity. We pray that we might have a hope that we recognize and seek Jesus Christ as our true fulfillment. We will not be ready for eternal life unless we train ourselves for that now. And so I encourage each one of us to reflect upon these readings in a way that instills hope in our hearts that is transformative, that truly changes us and helps us to navigate the difficult struggles and all the challenges and temptations that we might face in this world. But if we have that living hope within us, it will lead us through all of those, and ultimately it will lead us to union with God forever in the New Jerusalem.